Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Gimel, Perek Tes, Chapter 9. We started this chapter in the last class, and we mentioned there, what's the name, the difference in the Shem Hashem? There's a verse that says, Yadat HaYoim, you should know this day, and you shall return it to your heart, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is Elokim. So we asked, what's the difference between the name Hashem and Elokim? And the Nefesh HaChaim explained that Elohim means, is plural, we know that, means gods, but it means different forces. All of the forces that run this world, all the different forces, the forces of the power, all types of energies that run this world, are all different forces that run this world, are called Elohim, because the world runs with these forces. These forces actually is what makes the world run. Their source is all from Hashem. Hashem, who are Elohim? He is the master of all the forces. All the forces come from Hashem. So we have to know that Hashem is the source of all the forces. So Hashem is the all-inclusive name. It's the name that includes it's the general name. Hashem is the general name, and Elohim refers to the specific forces. So Hashem is the source of all the forces. Now with that explanation, we explain something very important. And that is that. That's the source of Avodah Zarah. What is Avodah Zarah? Where did Avodah Zarah start from? Idol worship. It came from Enosh, who was a grandson of Adam Arishon. And in their days, they started looking at different gods and different forces, because they said as follows. This is what we started last week. They said as follows, that there are different forces that are underneath Hashem. And so to speak, Hashem delegates powers to them. These different forces have power. They are different types of energies and different types of forces. And since Hashem is the God of all gods, and this is also, they said 100%, we acknowledge that everything comes from Hashem. All of these forces also come from Hashem. However, since Hashem delegates power to these forces, it's more proper for us to daven to these forces and not to daven to Hashem himself. We shouldn't daven to Hashem himself, because Hashem is too high, he's too lofty, he's way, way beyond our world, and we shouldn't be davening to Hashem. It's like almost like a chutzpah. You know, if you can speak to the king's secretary now, you want to speak to the king himself, that's a chutzpah. And I demand to see the king. So you don't daven to Hashem, you daven to these forces. And that's when they started davening to these forces. This whole concept of praying to different forces started in that time. So this one of the middle of the paragraphs here reads as follows: "V'hayyodin gam ken." So that's when it started, that they started davening to these different forces, and they acknowledged it's all from Hashem, but they said we're going to speak to the forces itself. "V'hayyodin gam ken hashbiya hamalochim hamamunim al hamazolus." They also knew how to make oaths to bind these angels who are pointed on these different forces, on these different mazalus. Mazal is normally a constellation, we say that the constellation, in the arrangement of the stars, influences this world. The world is affected by stars. These people, the people who study astrology, they say that the stars have an influence on the world. So Chazal also speak about that the stars have a certain influence on the world. So those are called mazalus. And their angels are pointed over each mazal. You know, there are different forces, different energies that enter the world, which have different types of influence. And therefore, they were able to daven to these angels, and they were even able to swear, make an oath that the angels are obligated to fulfill their wishes. I don't know exactly how they did that, but they took some sort of oath which bonded the angel to fulfill their own desires, their personal desires. That's called binding an angel with an oath. So they knew how to do this. They were very great people. I mean, we're talking about Namish, the earliest people in history, and they all came from Adam Arishon, who was the very greatest individual who ever lived. Adam Arishon was so great; he was so unbelievably great. He was created by Hashem's own hand, so to speak. Now the Gemara says his head reached to the heavens, which means that was his spiritual greatness. Before he sinned, he was unbelievably great, and even after he sinned, he was great. So therefore, these were also great people. They knew how to, so to speak, obligate the angels to carry out their wishes. And they were able to swear the angels to follow their desires. The Das Tevera, right, that they should, Hayu Yodim, Gamken, Lashbiya Malochim, Hamunim Al Hamazolis. So the Das Tevera, in order to know good and evil, in order to release goodness into the world and evil into the world, these angels who are appointed on these different forces could now be in their service. And here we see the problem with what they were doing. Because what they wanted to do by binding these angels to themselves and holding these angels beholden to themselves, they wanted these angels to bring down the benefits and pleasures of this world. That was their real motivation, and that's where we see the weakness. In the weakness of their whole approach was they wanted to, so to speak, bind these angels, that these angels will bring them the benefits of this world, that they should have prosperity in this world, that they should have good health in this world, that they should have happy lives and healthy families, healthy children, etc. They wanted to use the angels to serve them. The angels should serve them. And it was all about pleasures of this world. It wasn't about really serving Hashem. It was about enjoying themselves in this world, getting the benefits of this world. There's a nice analogy Rav Taube uses to explain Avodah Zorah. He gives an analogy as follows: that a person wanted to buy a very expensive computer, and he went to the store. So he goes into the store and he speaks to the salesman. And the salesman, he says, "What's your top computer cost?" So the guy says, "Whatever, $5,000, let's say, as an example." So the salesman says, "It's $5,000. So the customer says, "Listen, I'm going to pull my car out outside in front of the store. You bring the computer, put it straight in my boot, and I will give you $1,000 for your pocket." So the salesman says, "Oh, that's a good idea. Let's do it." So it comes up, the two of them are in cahoots to rob the store owner. It's called theft. That's called theft. The guy pulls up with his car in front of the store. The salesman comes up, puts the stuff in the boot, and he takes the $1,000. Meanwhile, between the two of them, they've robbed the owner of the store. So that's the analogy. In other words, a person says that I don't want to serve Hashem, it's too much of a higher price. And if that person realizes that Hashem is the God of all, he says, "No, I don't want to serve Hashem, it's too expensive. I don't want to spend $5,000 on this computer, it's too much money for me. I want to spend only $1,000. So this salesman is prepared to give it to me for $1,000. So therefore, what I'm doing is valid. And therefore, I'll get my wishes, and the salesman will also be happy." So that's like Avodah Zorah. You know, that instead of serving Hashem and fulfilling all our duties towards Hashem, who's the real Bala boss, who's the real owner of the business, so therefore he thinks that if he gets an angel to do his own will, the angel will benefit him in this world, and he'll sort of have a shortcut. He'll have a shortcut to getting his wishes in this world. And the basic motivation is to just enjoy himself in this world. But it is a type of theft. It's a type of robbery. When you serve idols instead of serving Hashem, it's a type of theft. So that fits in very well here. And these people had these powers to somehow, so to speak, draw down the angels, that the angels should serve them, like bribing the angels. Mikoicham, they were able to draw down from these angels, from the forces of these angels. These angels had different types of strength. Mikoicham, she's nismanu alav mi'adon kol yisbol shemo. That from the forces which Hashem had given, entrusted these angels, had different forces entrusted to them, they were able to get access to these angels. Like that customer was able to get access to the computer through the salesman helping him steal. And there were very few individuals in those days who recognized and knew in truth that even though Hashem is goes on high, he dwells way on high, Magbil Shavis, the Shavis. Him called there at the same time, right? We say that in Nahalil. Mika Shem Elokeinu HaMagbil Shavis. It's the first Tehillim we mention in Halil when we say Halil, right? We say Halil. So it says, who is like Hashem who goes way, way up on high to dwell way, way up on high? Magbil, he goes high, 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 the Shavis, to sit, his dwelling place is way, way up high. So therefore, there are only a few people who know that while it's true that Hashem does dwell very, very high, he is Magbil Shavis, he dwells in a very, very high place, in Kol Zeh Hu Mashpili Lirois B'Shamayim V'Aretz. The same Hashem who dwells way on high is also Mashpili Lirois. He also lowers himself way down to see what's going on in the earth, what's going on in this world. So it's true that Hashem is way up high, but he's also right down, right amongst us, and he sees exactly what's going on, and we can definitely talk to him. So it's only a few individuals who realized that this was the mistake of these people. That on the contrary, the greatness of Hashem is that anyone can speak to Hashem at any time. And you can ask him for anything. Any problem that you have, any issue that you have, anything that's bothering you in your life, whatever it is, it can be a minor thing, it can be a major thing. A person's asking for panos, he's asking for a wife, he's asking to have a house, he's asking for whatever he's asking for. Or he's asking Hashem because he's got a toothache, or he's got a headache, or because he can't find his keys. Doesn't matter what he's davening for. We can always daven to Hashem. Hashem is called Mashpili Lirois. Hashem lowers himself down to know exactly what's going on in our lives. Hashem mamish connects with each one of us. We don't need to go through any intermediaries because Hashem is mamish with us. Every minute by minute, second by second, Hashem is with us. And we have the power of prayer that we can ask for anything we want. We can mamish ask for anything we want. If we ask for it enough, and if we ask for it with enough faith, with enough belief in Hashem, we can get whatever we want. Hashem is willing to give us whatever we ask for. We just have to ask for it enough, with enough sincerity and with enough belief, we will get whatever we want. So he said there's only a few people who really realized the mistake of this, because Hashem is so great that He's everywhere. And therefore He's even concerned. He's even concerned, there's a pasuk that tells us, Hashem is even concerned with what lice will eat for breakfast. And He's even concerned with supplying the lice with their breakfast, right? What will the lice be eating today? Right? So each person finds his own panos in this world, and even the lice have their panos. The lice are these tiny, tiny creatures, they also have what to eat. And Hashem is totally, in His greatness, He's totally concerned with every single detail of this world. Nothing is too small for Him. He's so great that nothing is too small for Him. Nothing is beyond Him. You know, normally you think of a big company, so you have a managing director. So he can't manage everything. You know, it's a huge company. He has to have vice presidents. He has to delegate responsibilities. He says, this guy's in charge of manufacturing. This guy's in charge of employing staff. And this guy's in charge of advertising. This guy's in charge of accountancy. He says, I'm the managing director. I can't handle everything. But Hashem is not like that. Hashem is so mighty. He's such a genius. He's so giant that nothing is too small for Hashem. So this is the truth that these people were ignoring. And only very few people really know this truth, that we know this truth. And that's why we see that this avodah zarah is really a foolishness and it's a falsehood. Okay, so like we mentioned, that from that generation they started serving different powers. There were some people who used to worship animals. They used to bow down. And like the Indians now today, they bow down to cows. They worship cows. So therefore, here the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about people, they used to serve different types of animals, different types of birds, and it's a pasuk in Melachim that speaks Gamkein, that speaks about how they used to worship animals and birds. Gamkein kavonosam haya listabek atzman. Now they weren't stupid. What does it mean they were serving animals and birds? What do you think, that the cow is going to help you? This cow, this moo moo, right? He's going to bring you your wishes. So what it means is as follows, that the intention also was to cling themselves to that force and that muzzle, that upper muzzle, that angel from some upper world who brings life to that cow. You know, I'm going to be good to the cow and I'm going to be worship the cow and I'm going to access that angel who's appointed over taking care of this cow. So I'm going to access like a sort of a lowly angel, maybe a lowly angel, he's prepared to do my wishes. Not like that lowly salesman was prepared to help him steal the computer from the store. So that's what he does. That's what it means that they used to worship animals and birds. That they used to look for the angels appointed over those animals and birds and somehow get them to help them in their lives. Yashpia lehem mikoichoi. So that angel who's appointed on this cow, on this animal, should be able to help him with his force. With his area of control, each angel's got an area of control. Well, that angel will help him from his area of control, from his budget, so to speak. Each angel has his own budget. He's got certain forces which came to him from Hashem, and he's going to use these forces to help this person who serves this cow, who serves this animal, who worships this bird. We know there's the prophecies of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu in his days was busy going around chastising the Jewish people because he was trying to warn them that the first temple is going to be destroyed. If you guys don't change your ways, if you don't change your ways, the first temple will be destroyed. And that's why he wrote Megillas Eicha, which is a whole prophecy about this, how terrible it's going to be when the first temple will be destroyed. And he prophesied the whole thing. So he also went around giving talks to people. People got upset with him. They didn't like to listen to what he said. They didn't want to change their ways. So there's also one address where he spoke to people who wanted to live, who had gone down to live in Egypt, who wanted to go and live in Egypt. You know, these were Jewish people in first temple times. They wanted to go and live in Egypt because Egypt was the good life, you know, chutz la'aretz, overseas. That's where the Jews really live it up. You know, they go to Egypt. It was the America of those days. It was the California of those days. Was Egypt. That's where the good horses were. That's where the money was. The gold and silver was. So therefore, he spoke to these Jews who wanted to go to Egypt. And amongst them, he wanted to get them to stop serving idols. They were serving idols, and they also wanted to go to Egypt. So it says here, he brings here a quote that these cursed women said to these cursed women said to Yirmiyahu as follows. This is Mamish, this is from a pasuk in the in Yirmiyahu. It says, "Min az chadalnu lakafe mamlechas hashamayim." They said to him, "So you shut up." They said to Yirmiyahu, "You keep quiet, right? Because from the time that we listened to you, we made a big mistake." These women were saying to Yirmiyahu, "We made a big mistake. We should never have listened to you. From the moment that we stopped bringing incense to the forces of the heavens, to the stars in the heavens, the hasech la nesachim, pouring libations, right? It was also part of the service. You poured wine before their gods and pouring libations. Chasanu kol, we've been lacking everything." They said to him, "We made a big mistake. You know, when you first came around and you started telling us to stop serving idols, so we listened to you. We were foolish. We stopped serving idols. But then all our fortune went down. Then we started being lacking. Then our panosa stopped. And we suffered all sorts of mishaps." And they were upset with Yirmiyahu that you caused us to stop serving our idols, and that's why we're lacking everything. Now, this is just another question. I mean, that's just a quote. So we see they were serving all these other forces. They were serving the different stars and constellations. There's just another question, a side question we can ask here, is that why should it be that they suffered in this way? When they stopped serving idols, whatever it was for a short time, so then their panosa went down, their livelihood went down, they suffered setbacks. Why does Hashem do that? And a person stops serving idols, and then just things start going wrong. It's a similar question. Sometimes you find a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, he becomes from, and then things, all sorts of things start going wrong for him. Right before he was from, everything was going great. You know, he had plenty of money in his pocket, and he had a good car, and he had everything. He had a good job, and since he became from, he lost his job, and now he's lost his friends, and he's lost his panosa, and everything's going bad. But that's just part of the way Hashem works with a person, because Hashem needs to test a person. And that's a whole topic by itself, exactly why it is sometimes when a person takes a step in the right direction that he suddenly has to suffer hardships. That's just the reality of life. These women also were suffering hardships because they left idolatry, but they, meanwhile, they were upset. They took the lesson in the wrong way. They said, this is a proof that we shouldn't have left idolatry, because look, we're having misfortunes now. And that's what they said to Yirmiyahu. That's a pasuk from the book of Yirmiyahu. Umehem, back to our subject. Mehem, also amongst the idol worshippers, shayim shtablim umezabchim mekatrim le'eze odom. There were also people who used to worship certain people. There were people who used to make other people into gods. They used to worship people. You know, like worship the pop stars. You know, we speak about pop idols, right? What they call pop idols. They're also called idols. Right? People worship them. But they used to mamish worship people, not just hang their poster on the wall. Right, so therefore that also was a problem, that they was worshipping other people. The same idea, because they saw that his force, so you see a person is very, very successful in this world, so they say it must be his angel has a great ability to help him. He's got a tremendous muzzle. He's got a tremendous good fortune. It's like a muzzle. Muzzle, we say muzzle, we mean good fortune, but it's actually an angel that's appointed over this person who's helping him in this world. So if they saw someone who was tremendously successful, they said his angel must be very powerful. So if we serve this person, if we'll bow down to this person, then that person's angel will also help us. That was the rationale. So that's why that's another type of avodah zarah, that they actually used to worship people. They used to worship kings. Certain kings they used to bow down to, because they said he's so successful. If we'll worship him, then good things will happen to us. The choshvam she'al yedei yishtabdam avodosim, that if they'll bow themselves down to these kings, to these great people, and they'll serve these great people, elav yale mazalem im mazala. So therefore they, so to speak, will link themselves with the angel who's appointed over this individual, and therefore this angel will help them in their personal lives as well. Umehem, and also amongst those who served idols, it's another type of idolatry. Amongst them, amongst the idolaters, we're not always, we mentioned before that the idolaters mostly wanted the goodness of this world. They wanted the wealth and the good health and the affluence and the prosperity of this world. Amongst them were also idolaters who weren't necessarily looking for the good life in this world. But there were idolaters who were sort of more dedicated. Sometimes you get some idol worshippers or mamish meshugana idol worshippers. They're totally sincere. It's totally, so not just they're looking for the good life in this world. They're totally sincere in worshipping idols. They want to really understand deeper secrets, the secrets of the universe. He reckons if he serves his idols, this idol will reveal to him the secrets of the universe. So that's what they wanted. They wanted hasogas sichlim. They wanted intellectual grasps of high worlds, shechamdu lahim, which they desired. For instance, the wisdom of witchcraft. There's a wisdom called witchcraft. There's wizardry. And there is kishuf is actually a force. I don't know, it could be nowadays no one really knows it. Maybe the people who claim to be witches or wizards. It's no one really knows. But there is such a chokhmah of kishuf, right? A person's able to do magic, some type of magic. Right? There's magic which comes from negative forces, black magic. What they speak about is black magic, it comes from the forces of contamination. So therefore, those people also wanted to serve idols in order to get wisdoms, upper wisdoms. They wanted to know certain wisdoms of the world. And then there were those who tried to serve certain groups of people. They became the worshippers of certain groups of people. They said this group of people has a certain type of force to them. They have a certain type of good fortune. And they wanted to draw down from the angel who's sort of been helping this group, or maybe the different angels that were helping the people of this group, should somehow give to them, their belief in them should give them some sort of prosperity, some sort of goodness, and also to know the future, fortune-telling. Fortune-telling is also something that the Torah forbids. And we're forbidden to go to fortune-tellers. So therefore, that's also they wanted. They wanted by serving groups of people that maybe they could know the future. This is all called avodah zarah. All these different examples we gave, whether you're serving animals or birds, whether you're serving the different constellations, you're serving the different forces, the heavenly forces, the different stars, etc., or whether you're serving people or groups of people, all of this is complete avodah zarah. And all fits into the category of the second command of the Ten Commandments: you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods. Anyone who serves any type of god besides Hashem is transgressing the second command of the Ten Commands. Moshe Kosov HaKol HaRamban B'Perusha Al HaTorah, like Ramban explains in the Torah, that all of these types of things, anytime that you're not davening to Hashem Himself, so it's considered Avodah Zorah. V'afilu lishtabeit ulistabek b'ez Avodah lebechinas Ruach HaKodesh b'ez Odom Novi u'bal Ruach HaKodesh. And even if you want to serve, you want to bind yourself, you want to you subjugate yourself and to cling to some type of service, the spirit of divine inspiration which might exist in some person, even let's say a great rabbi, you say, see a certain rabbi, a certain prophet who has divine inspiration, and he wants to serve this rabbi because this rabbi has divine inspiration, or he wants to, let's say, for instance, even in the Beis HaMikdash, we know that essentially in the Beis HaMikdash there were four services that were the main services. There was when you brought an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are four services. There's the slaughtering of the animal, there's catching the blood in a pan, and then there's carrying the blood to the altar and throwing the blood against the altar. Those are the four major services. So this guy wants to serve one of the services of Hashem. He wants to turn that into an avodah zarah, because he says there's a certain force which allows us to go through these actions of doing the service of Hashem, and I'm going to serve that service. It's like one of the forces of Hashem that's working for Hashem. He wants to turn it into an idol for himself, or he wants to turn some. If there's a great person like a choshev, a rabbi, a very choshev adam gadol, right? A choshev Torah teacher. He wants to, who is a prophet, maybe a person who's a prophet who has Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, he wants to serve that person. So to that divine inspiration that comes to that person should come to him also. Same idea. Also, that also is called Gamzeh Nikra Avodah Zorah Mamish. This is also called really Avodah Zorah. We're going to see an amazing example right now. Kamosha Matzina ben Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the world. He was the king of Babylon, and he conquered the world, and he's the one who destroyed the first temple. So we find Nebuchadnezzar, Shehishtachave le Daniel. He took Daniel, the famous Daniel, as a servant to himself, and he actually worshipped Daniel. He actually bowed down to Daniel. Daniel was a Yid, he's a Talmud Chochem. Now we have the book of Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of the world, he used to bow down to Daniel. He used to worship Daniel. Gamken lo bavu sheikh zikru leloko boirekul. Not that he thought that Daniel was the creator of the world. He knew he was just a human being. He was just a Yiddish boy. Nice Yiddish boy. He knew that he was just a, he wasn't the creator. Ela shekiven v'shtachavai osoy lishtabed lishtabek l'ruach ha-kodesh shebo. However, in bowing down to Daniel, he had intention to somehow serve the spirit that was in, that was empowering in Daniel. Daniel, he saw, was had heavenly help. So he thought he could access that source of heavenly help by bowing down to Daniel. That was his intention. The same as the same idea as we've been saying up to now. That there are different heavenly forces that he somehow wanted to have access. Right? The idol worshippers want to have access to these heavenly forces so that they'll benefit them. And that's why he used to bow down to Daniel. Like the Pasuk says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Badin Malka Nebuchadnezzar. So the verse says that the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and he prostrated himself to Daniel. And also they brought meal offerings, they brought gifts. Now it's just like you bring sacrifices to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. They sent gifts to Daniel. That should be like offerings. They sent him meal offerings and incense. They sent him gifts as like serving Daniel with gifts, like just like we serve in the Beis HaMikdash by bringing Ketores. The Ketores is one of the services we have in the Holy of Holies. You come in with incense and you burn incense in the Holy of Heichel. On a daily basis, they used to bring basically there was incense brought every single day, and on Yom Kippur it was brought into the Holy of Holies. The incense was taken to the Holy of Holies. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to bring incense to Daniel, and he wanted to bring him meal offerings, right, as gifts to the divine spirit that rested on Daniel. So this is what the Pasuk is telling us over here, etc. Vesham, and also there's another Pasuk there, Adashe Achron Bo. Lefanai Daniel. There's also a verse there that Nebuchadnezzar had this awesome dream, had this very, very frightening dream, and none of his wise men could tell him the meaning of the dream until finally Daniel came. So he said, "Oh, when Daniel came, Daniel told me the real meaning of the dream." So therefore, you see that Daniel has special powers, and that's why he insisted on bowing down to Daniel. Amazing thing, right? You've got this Goyisha king of the world, bowing down to this Yiddish boy, right? Rezal Amru. Now there was a whole event when Nebuchadnezzar set up this huge idol and he told everyone who came, he assembled millions and millions of thousands and thousands of people to this assembly. Amongst them were many, many Jews, and he wanted these Jews to bow down to this idol. So on that event, which is also described there in the book of Daniel, he made sure that Daniel was not present at that event. He said to Daniel, "Don't be here." He sent him away. When he had this event, he assembled all these people. They should all bow down to this idol. There was actually an idol. The Gemara says it was an idol that he managed to put some sort of name of Hashem into the mouth of the idol, and the idol was actually able to speak because he had the name of Hashem. The Gemara explains that. See, they had the name of Hashem which they had written on a parchment, and they put in the mouth of the idol. So the idol was actually able to speak, and he insisted that everyone bows down to this idol. So he told Daniel, "Make sure you're not here at this event." The lo lekayim bi psile Eloheim tishrufun. Right? No, sorry. So he allowed him to go, but Daniel himself said, "Over there, I'm going to go from here, so that they won't fulfill in me to burn the idols." Right? There's a mitzvah of the Torah that you have to burn the idols of the goyim. The mitzvah to burn the idols of the goyim. So he said, "If I'll be here, and meanwhile Nebuchadnezzar is bowing down to me, so then they'll burn me because I myself am an idol." They'll burn me because I'm a subject of I myself am an idol. So he made sure that he disappeared from that scene. Amagam ken yaz, right? And sorry, and Nebuchadnezzar himself also told Daniel to not be there. Yazel Daniel mihocha. Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel, "Don't be here today. Go from here." The lo lemru kali lelohe lenura. Nebuchadnezzar made sure that Daniel also was not there on that occasion, so that people won't say that he burnt his own god. Since Nebuchadnezzar regarded Daniel as a god, so he was also worried that the Jewish people might go and burn Daniel, because since Nebuchadnezzar is bowing down to him, so he himself is an idol. Ba'ayin Zohar Chodesh, if we look in the Zohar there, in the Bereishis Rabbah, in the Midrash over there, in Tanchuma, Reish Pasuk Ve'echi, the whole story is explained there. V'chein Ata Moitzeh B'Daniel, and also we find, if you look in the book of Daniel, what that pasuk that says, Ba'adin Malka Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar fell down in front of him, and he commanded that they should bring meal offerings and incense offerings to Daniel. of Daniel, lo kibel. Daniel himself never accepted it. He said, no, don't give me these offerings. Daniel himself tried to push this all away. When they tried to bring him meal offerings, they said, no, I'm not a god. Go away from me. Leave me alone. Lama shekashem shenifraim me'oiv davod azor. So why was Daniel so insistent that they shouldn't serve him? Yeah, he's sending him nice things. He's sending goods, boxes of chocolates and bottles of wine, whatever it was. So why did Daniel push them away? Because Daniel knows that the loch is shekashem shenifraim me'oiv davod azor. Just like those who serve idols will be punished. Will be ultimately punished, so too the Avodah Zarah itself is punished. So Daniel said, if I will allow myself to be worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, I too will be punished, I too will be destroyed. Now we know the similar thing with the story with Yaakov Avinu. You look here, when Yaakov Avinu asked Yosef, when Yaakov Avinu was dying, he asked Yosef specially, make sure that after I die that you remove my body from Egypt and bury me in Eretz Israel. So Rashi brings a few of the reasons, and this also is brought in the Midrash. What was one of Yaakov's reasons why he didn't want to be buried in Egypt? He said, because if I'll be buried in Egypt, the Egyptians will worship my gravesite. They'll worship me. They'll come to my gravesite and pray to me. Not the Egyptians. We know that Yaakov Avinu reached Egypt, so the whole famine stopped. It was a famine. It was supposed to be a famine for 7 years. It only lasted for 2 years. Because the minute Yaakov came down to Egypt, the whole famine stopped. And therefore, he was also regarded as a god by the Egyptians. And that's why Yaakov asked Yosef especially, take me out of Egypt. Make sure that you don't bury me in Egypt. Shelo ratza likaver Mitzrayim. He didn't want to be buried in Egypt because he knew that they would worship him. So we see that this is all called idolatry. Yaakov Avinu was worried that he will be considered a source of idolatry, that the goyim will be bowing down to his grave site. Even though the goyim are trying to get to the Holy Spirit that rests on these tzaddikim, they weren't actually worshipping the tzaddik themselves, like we said before. They were trying to get access to the Holy Spirit that rests on these tzaddikim and to worship those spirits. But that is considered avodah zarah mamish. And according to this, we can understand the pasuk when it says that you shall have no other gods in front of me. Now, what does it mean in front of me? Which is to say, that we shouldn't have any intention. You know, even when we're davening to Hashem, we shouldn't be davening to any aspect of Hashem or any power of Hashem. We have to daven to Hashem Himself. That there should be no intention in any aspect or any concept or any power that Hashem has. I want to bow down to the aspect of kindness of Hashem. Hashem has an attribute of kindness. I'm going to bow to the attribute of kindness of Hashem. That's called Avodah Zarah. Right? So that's indicated in the verse. Don't have any God from before me. That's something that comes from before me, from me. That's any aspect that comes from Hashem Himself we're not allowed to bow down to. We can't bow to Hashem's kindness. We can't bow to Hashem's compassion, which are different forces that Hashem shows us, because that's not Hashem Himself. We have to daven only to Hashem Himself. Right? We shouldn't be focused on any type of power, even though it's a power of Hashem. We can't be worshipping any power of Hashem, only Hashem Himself. Even if this power is something that is attributed to Hashem Himself. It's Hashem's own koyach. Haina filu lifrat ruach hakodesh shebeiz odom. If you want to worship the divine inspiration within a certain person, which also comes from Hashem, or prat bechinas hakadusha shebeiz koyach elyon, or you want to somehow isolate the holiness, which is in some upper force, you want to look to the holiness in some upper force. If that holiness in some upper force is also from Hashem, even so, that's forbidden, because once you isolate any type of power from Hashem Himself, it's called idolatry. Okay, in Maimrim Chazal, like Chazal say in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Aloisa Sun Iti. It says, don't make with me, don't make any other idols with me, don't put anyone on my level. The pasuk says, don't make something that should be with me. I feel it Mushamashai Mishamshin Lufana. Even any of my servants who serve before me. Now, so to speak, like the sun is a servant of Hashem. So therefore, anyone who worships the sun is considered serving Avodah Zarah. Ah, the sun is Hashem's servant. So isn't it part of Hashem? So in a sense, it is part of Hashem. But even so, we cannot serve any of Hashem's servants, because that all is called Avodah Zarah. So even if we're worshipping one of Hashem's servants, or one of Hashem's powers, that's still considered idolatry. We have to only serve Hashem Himself. one of the servants of Hashem, one of the constellations, one of the forces, one of the angels of Hashem who works in the heavens above, could go in Ofanim, like the different angels. We speak about the angels that are called Ofanim. We mentioned in the Kedusha on Shabbos, right? We mentioned the Ofanim, the Chayes HaKodesh, Ofanim, the Chayes HaKodesh, the Srofim. We speak of the Srofim. The Srofim is certain types of angels. If we worship any of these angels, so then that is considered Avodah Zarah. Right? None of the angels. We're not allowed to serve any, even as the angel of Hashem himself. We're not allowed to worship any angel. Now, even though when we're warned against Avodah Zarah, so we're warned about serving them in a way that we would normally serve Hashem in the temple. And we mentioned before that the essential temple service was for specific avoiders. So therefore, when the Torah says you're not allowed to serve an idol, it means you can't serve an idol in the way that you would serve Hashem. One of the four services which you would do for Hashem, you may not do for any idol. Those are the four services. So he says, even though specifically, where the prohibition of serving idols means doing one of the four services that you would normally do in the Beis HaMikdash for Hashem, Amnam Atah Shavuidus Atfile Bishtabdus Kavonas Aleiv Huva Mokam Avoidus Akorban. Since nowadays our service of Hashem is really davening, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash in our days. So when we stand up to daven to Hashem, so then that's the service of sacrifice. That's instead of the Beis HaMikdash, we have our davening. Our davening stands in the place of the Beis, our service of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, if one would be davening to any force other than Hashem, that would be Mamish Avodah Zarah. Because since our davening takes the place of the temple service, any type of davening, you're davening to any force besides Hashem himself, so that would be considered Avodah Zarah. And this is what the verse tells us. It's a pasuk in Shmos that says anyone who brings sacrifices to the gods besides Hashem himself, right, will be destroyed. It's even when we daven to Hashem, we shouldn't have any focus for any of Hashem's powers. You shouldn't be daven to any of Hashem's specific powers. You have to daven only to Hashem himself and not to one of the powers of Hashem. Even though it's the powers of Hashem, that's a problem. When we daven, we can't be davening to any specific power of Hashem, only to Hashem himself. Only to have kavanah to Hashem himself. To the name of Hashem, to Hashem himself. Sheperusha mahave akol. Hashem, the name Yudkei Vovkei, which is the main name of Hashem, is the one who creates all. So that name, Yudkei Vovkei, is the one we should be davening to. Yudkei Vovkei is the source of all, the one who creates all, only to that force itself, only to Hashem himself, who is the source of all, to that should we be davening. Haniklala mekoyer dekol hakoyches kulam, which is, as we said before, he is the source of all forces, and it's only to Hashem, who is the source of all forces, that we are allowed to be davening to.